Welcome to another edition of TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com, coming to you live from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Of course, all of our guests tonight appear on the Rocket Headers Hotline, and you can interact with us via our Facebook fan page or our Twitter account at TJ Slideways, or via email tj@tjslideways.com. A little later in the show, we're going to talk to JoJo Hellberg about the upcoming must-see racing events, and it means that we get to start talking about the Little 500, which is always one of my favorite things to talk about. And then Greg Kaladin will be in to talk about the Oshwegan Speedway opening event on Friday night, Oshwegan opening night on Friday. But my first guest is one of my foremost experts on the Northern Ohio sprint car scene, and he's going to be the voice behind one of the bigger events of the season, the 25th anniversary night at Attica Raceway Park. And Brian Liskey, it's hard to believe that 25 years has gone by at Attica.
It is hard to believe. I can remember when the track opened up, my dad was still racing sprint cars at the time, and it was kind of exciting because I had been going to a lot of different racetracks, but it was kind of never had seen a new one open up in the state of Ohio like that. And it was really exciting when it opened up.
Now, you've been around the scene for a while. Like I said, your dad raced and stuff. You know, Fremont was going, and there were tracks in the area. There's Mansfield, Millstream, but eventually, the climate changed a little bit, and a few people got together and decided to build this racetrack in the infield there at Attica.
There used to, back in, I talked to Johnny Oxter, who was like a legend in Northern Ohio racing, and he told me there had been a track in Attica back in like the 40s, at the same location. From what I've been told, turns one and two at Attica was turns one and two back in the 40s. The track was bigger, though. Turns three and four were in where the pits are now at Attica. But, the 410 climate had changed. Fremont was running them very sporadically, and there was a lot of 410 teams still around the Fremont area, and when you did run them, the purses weren't that good, and the promotion team there at Fremont was changing hands like almost every other year. So, the climate wasn't good. A lot of the teams, in order to run, were either having to go over to Pennsylvania or go travel the 3-4 hours down to Atomic Speedway in Chillicothe, Ohio, and Mark Keegan and his brother Larry Keegan and sat down with folks like Eric Phillips, and they got to talking about what they could do, and they got a hold of the Martin family over in Attica, and they went to the Fair Board, and the Fair Board was receptive to it, so they started building a racetrack.
And it's kind of crazy. I remember people telling me when they went to build that racetrack, like people from the town went to help pick up the grandstands, to help build it.
They did. The Martin family, Brandon Martin, of course, a 410 sprint car driver, his family was involved in that. They lived right next door to the fairgrounds and where the track is. Gene Frankert, who works at Lima Land Speedway, now takes care of the track over there. He was from that area, and he was a racer. In fact, Gene Frankert's, the Frankert name was on one of my dad's race cars clear back in 1972. So Gene Frankert got involved in it, and the town got excited about it. A chance to do something out there at that fairgrounds. The only thing they ever had out there was their little independent fair every year, and a chance to have a racetrack there to run on a weekly event during the summer got everybody excited.
And I remember my first visit was the very first Speed Week show at Attica. And I remember the first thing I noticed is when the cars lined up in the chute, they all had a push truck behind them, and every one of them went on the racetrack at the same time. In fact, a couple of weekly shows we attended after that were done before 10 o'clock.
That's one thing that Attica has maintained over these 25 years, to run an efficient show. And a lot of other racetracks have taken note of how they do it. And, they start late because they run on Fridays and people get off work. So they don't start till about 7:45. But it's very unusual if you aren't out of there before 10:30, 11 o'clock every week.
I wouldn't even know what that's like half the time. So Brian Liskey joining us from Attica Raceway Park. And, we're talking about 25 years of history. We're talking Brad Doty classics and Speed Week shows and Labor Day shows and just, even some of the great weekly programs every week. Do you have a couple of races that might stand out over those 25 years that maybe you called or witnessed over the years there at Attica?
Of course, everybody remembers I believe it was 1993 Speed Week show. It was the finale. It paid $10,000 to win, and Steve Kinzer was following Speed Week, and he showed up, And Mark Keegan, the local legend, got around him very late in the race to score his biggest win of his career. And I remember that vividly because I remember how the grandstand, everybody didn't like Mark Keegan back then because he was winning all the time. But when he beat Steve Kinzer, everybody at that place became a Mark Keegan fan. So it was really cool. And another one that sticks out is when Lobuck team Elvin Rupke won the Brad Doty Classic and coined the phrase, "Holy moly, I won the Doty." And that one always stands out.
And one I remember, too, is one of the first Brad Doty Classic I ever went to was the one where Bobby Allen passed Sammy Swindell late in the race to win that event. So that was that's another memory. And just, I mean, it just seems like they could go on and on. I mean, you think about guys that would come in and race good there, like Jeff Shepard and other people. I mean, Shepard was really good there for a while, had quite a streak going at Attica and All-Star programs.
He did. Jeff Shepard, he ran that place very well. You know, there was the upsets, too, like in Speed Week when another Lobuck team, the Spring Nationals, when Bobby Teeple scored an upset win. That was really neat to watch as well. You know, you go back to the first driver to win a sprint car race, Rocky Hodges. When you know, how many people can remember Rocky Hodges racing?
I wonder how many of our listeners remember Steve Siegel's V6 sprint car there.
Oh boy, I can still hear that motor. That car, it was one of the most unique sounding race cars I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I agree. It was so weird to hear that thing go by, especially at a dirt track. I mean, we had been to some paved tracks and seen Glenn Nibel stuff. To be at like an All-Star show and hear that thing go by was just crazy.
It was. And in fact, I ran into Steve Siegel at the IMIS show this past year, and we were talking about that. Dale Blaney and I and him were standing there talking about it. It was really interesting to hear his stories about that V6.
And, you know, one thing that maybe newer fans don't realize is Fremont was dormant for 2 or 3 years after that 360 experiment, and various promoters had come in and they had tried to revive the 410 program. It just didn't work. And eventually the Fair Board said enough and it sat for a couple of years. And Attica basically single-handedly in that area, granted there were other tracks running, but in that particular locale kind of kept things going for a while there. I mean, can you imagine what the 410 sprint car program or what sprint car racing in general would look like in your neighborhood if Attica hadn't kept going when Fremont was dormant?
Well, absolutely. It was the late 90s, and Fremont sat dormant. In fact, there had been talk with the Fair Board that they were going to tear the racetrack out of there and not have racing there whatsoever. And thank goodness Jim Ford came and saved Fremont Speedway. And, of course, the rest is history there. But Attica did, they picked up the slack, and they kept race teams in the area. If Attica hadn't been running, we probably to this day wouldn't have 410 racing in Northwest Ohio.
I would agree with that. And one other thing Attica brought to the table were the 305 sprint cars. And when it started, it was kind of an interesting deal because nobody had really ever tried anything like that before. We basically had wing sprint cars and non-wing sprint cars. And all of a sudden we had these 305 cars that had no front wings on them, racing around, getting people started in sprint car racing. And at first they were kind of like the sickly sounding sprint cars that were out there, but it took about a year and a half and all of a sudden people were realizing these guys are putting on some great races.
Eric Phillips, that was a brainchild of his, and that's who we're going to honor this coming Friday at Attica. And he came up with that idea again. He sat down with Mark Keegan and some of the guys around the Fremont area. He said, you know, we need an entry-level sprint car division, and they came up with a set of rules. I wish they'd have stuck to those rules because it was affordable then. They did some of the changes because it was tough for the engine builders. You know, they went from carbureted engines to fuel injected engines. That's why I remember the first night they had those out there, and I remember the first car Joe Keegan had built one. It was in the mall show in Tiffin, and everybody was looking at this thing saying, it'll never fly, it'll never fly. And here we are, you know, all these years later with 20, 30, 40 305 sprint cars racing on a weekly basis.
And look at the caliber of drivers in that division now. I mean, you look at the top 10 every night, you have a mix of, like, young guys coming up, you know, through the ranks, but then you have, like, John Ivey and Paul Weaver and all these guys that have plenty of 410 racing under their belt, man. It's a great education for those drivers.
You know, it is kind of the evolution of the 305s. It started out as a way to get younger guys involved in sprint car racing, and now it's kind of gone the other way. It's a way to keep some of the veterans still active in sprint car racing, like the Paul Weavers and the John Ivies and the Bobby Clarks and people like that. And it is. It's a real nice mixture. We have a whole group of, you know, the late 30s, early 40s, mid the early 40s, racing with 16-year-olds and 15-year-olds and 17-year-olds, and it's a real nice mixture.
I mean, if you look at people that have moved up this year, like Paige Pollack and DJ Foose and stuff, I don't think those two would probably be as good as they are now if they didn't have that caliber of driver to race against when they're in the 305s.
Absolutely, and they'll both tell you that. You know, and Paige just, you know, she just put on a good show at Fremont this past Saturday, set quick time out of 35 cars, including the top all-star guys. And, you know, she'll tell you, it was racing against the John Ivies and DJ Fooses and the Stuart Brubakers and the people like that that got her the skill level that would make her competitive in a 410 sprint.
And, of course, this Friday night at Attica, double 410 features, and man, what a bargain for the race fan. It's going to be an incredible show. Two 410 races in one night, and it's going to celebrate Eric Phillips and non-front wing 305s to throw back to the original division. Those twin features, all stars are off, should be a good field of cars. Are there any surprises expected maybe for the 25th anniversary show coming in for that double feature program?
I haven't heard of any yet, but both features pay $2,500 to win, $250 to start. Rexel June hasn't given me the format yet on how he's going to do it. The first feature bet will be one of the Kistler Racing Products Fast Points Night, and that group's throwing in some money too. There's some bonuses for their highest finishing average in the two features. I think it's $500 for the average finish out of the two features for their members, so there's extra money on the line there as well. There's going to be a nice video tribute to Eric Phillips on our big screen. We're encouraging a lot of fans after hot laps to stick around the stands to watch that. I think it's going to be an emotional night because Eric was very well liked at Attica Raceway Park, and I know his family and friends are all going to be there. So I look for some of the all-star guys to show up, and they've had some good off weeks, some of the all-star. I mean, Cap Henry's won a couple races, and Daniel Oldgraver's won, and Blaney and Schaefer are starting to pick up their mid-season form. So if any of those guys show up, it could be a heck of a night.
And when Rex called me last year and said, hey, I'm thinking about taking the front wings off the 305s for our anniversary show, the first thing I said was, do it. I was all for this, and I think it's going to be a really neat deal for some of the younger fans to see what the 305s kind of looked like back in the day.
Well, I'm more interested in how the drivers adapt to it, and you know, one of the things a lot of people say, well, the front wings, they hold the front end of the race car down the racetrack. Well, they do that, but they also direct that air to the top wing, which helps the back end of the race car. So it's going to be interesting to see how the drivers adapt and how their crews change the race cars and how much different they're going to run without that front wing.
You know, Brian, how many power steering lines do you think we can disconnect between you and me in the chute before drivers roll out for the feature?
See, that's, you know, another thing. That was the original rule, no power steering. They had to run steel wheels, of course, no front wings. And like I said before, they were carbureted when they started and ended up allowing the power steering and now aluminum wheel. You know, that I don't know. Some of those changes are for the good, but I don't agree with it. I still think that division got a little out of hand from what it was intended to be.
Yeah, at times, but you know, it's still a strong field of cars. And of course, the late models are going to be a part of the night too. There, the 25th anniversary program at Attica Raceway Park. Brian, you call two nights of racing a week there. You do Attica and Fremont. It's one of the strongest 410 hotbeds in the area, but it's a lot of work. I mean, you're calling two races per weekend, per night, basically from the end of March till Labor Day. What brings you to the racetrack after all these years? I mean, you mentioned your dad race. You've been basically going to the racetrack your whole life. Why? What still intrigues you about going to the racetrack every night and calling both of those racetracks?
The people, the race, the relationship you build with the people involved is why you go back every week. And frankly, the excitement of the racing. I mean, I just witnessed one of the best races I've ever seen in the 49 years I've been on this planet at Fremont this past Saturday. And it still gives me goosebumps how that race went, all 30 laps Green and the racing that went on. So it's the excitement, you know, what am I going to see tonight? And that's the beauty of our sport. You see something different every time you go to the racetrack.
And one thing I find that's neat about your area, and we've beaten this horse to death on this show, is you go to the Attica Fremont area and race time, like trailers coming out of every nook and corner of every little town going to the racetrack. And when you're around town, it's almost impossible to not run into someone from the racetrack.
It is. You know, you see, when you're in Fremont, it doesn't matter when you go to the Walmart store, you go to the Lowe's store, you go to the grocery store, you go to the hardware store, you go to church, you see a racing t-shirt. It's just amazing.
And, of course, you guys have a radio show, too, that you guys, I'm sure, are going to be talking about this 25th anniversary program later in the week as well.
Yeah, Scott Barman and myself on Thursday nights on the Fremont radio station. It's called the Buckeye Speed Zone, presented by Budweiser. People can go to WFROradio.com, listen as it streams over the internet as well. And I'm going to have to get my computer fired up to listen to the rest of your show. I'm interested in a little 500 talk. I've gotten to see that race once in my life. My dad got to compete in it once, and I always tell people you got to go watch that race at least once if you're a true race fan.
Now, were you watching or were you pitting for your dad?
I didn't go the year he ran, actually. I think I was, I was 7 years old. I went back several years later with a group of guys just because I'd never seen it and I wanted to see it, and it didn't disappoint me whatsoever.
Do you think there's any amount of money that could get you into the infield to pit one of those sprint cars?
No. I don't know how those guys do that without somebody getting hurt. It is absolutely amazing, the organization that goes into that racetrack at Anderson and how they do the mandatory pit stops and how they can roll the car in and out of there. And it just amazes me to watch that.
And the thing that gets me about it is the first time I ever saw a sprint car get pushed off under green at Anderson when the cars are going full speed. There's a car behind a push truck on the racetrack. It's just absolutely nuts. And I tell everyone, it's a bucket list sprint car race, and you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it, but everybody should at least see it once.
Absolutely. That's the best way to describe it. And I'm hoping to get back there again someday. When they drop the green flag and those 33 cars come off that fourth, there's nothing like it in open wheel racing. I think it's better than the green flag for the Indianapolis 500.
I would agree with you there. Brian Liskey joining us on the line. It's going to be calling the 25th anniversary program Friday night at Attica Raceway Park. And are you going to have any guests in the booth with you? Is Rick coming back? Is Todd going to come up there for a little bit? Or any other special tributes planned during the night?
I haven't heard, but I'll bet you Rick Lejeune will be there, the first announcer that they had there at the Attica Raceway Park, who I've looked up to all my career announcing. Rick taught me an awful lot how to do the job, and I hope he comes in. I'd love to hear him call a race. Even if it's just a heat race or a couple of heat races, I'd love to hear Rick call a race. Todd Tapple actually is our pit steward at Attica, and he fills in for me at Fremont Speedway announcing when I go out to the Knoxville Nationals. So Todd likes to do that. Maybe we will try to get him up in the booth to call a race or two as well.
Well, Brian, I think it's awesome that you guys are having this big 25th anniversary celebration for one of my favorite racetracks on the planet. And I appreciate you taking a moment to join us and talk racing. I mean, it's always fun to do that, you know, especially when we have something momentous like this 25th anniversary.
You know, and it is. And when I was just thinking about this the other day, 25 years at Attica and 62 years at Fremont Speedway, two tracks just 40 miles apart. That's kind of unheard of in our neck of the woods anyway. You know, you got to go to Pennsylvania before you see racetracks with that kind of history behind them. And for Ohio, that speaks volumes. I know Eldora Speedway, I think they're celebrating their 60th anniversary this year. Sharon Speedway's been around for longer than that, but you know, they had closed here and there, but we have some great racetracks in Ohio that have made it through the difficult times and are still around and enjoying some of the best racing they've ever had.
As I joke, a good racetrack won't go out of business. It's usually a bad one that will. So, Brian Liskey, thank you for joining us tonight, and good luck with that Friday show with calling the 21st anniversary program at Attica Raceway Park.
Thanks so much, TJ, and we'll see you at the racetrack soon.
All right, Brian Liskey joining us on the Rocket Harris Hotline. We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we're going to have JoJo Hellberg on the line. We'll talk Little 500, what it's like to run a winged sprint car around Winchester Speedway. Crazy. and whatever else JoJo has to talk about. You're listening to TJSlideways.com live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
Jay Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oschwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OschweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Friday Night Thunder returns to Oschwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OschweganSpeedway.com for more information. welcome back. There's a buzz in the bleachers. Bumper music PC, so I apologize for no bumper music coming in the segment, but joining us on the Rocket Harris Hotline on his way back to the Midwest for a big week of asphalt sprint car racing, JoJo Hellberg, driving out from California, pulled off to the side and made some time for us. JoJo, I really appreciate you joining us tonight.
Oh, yeah, no problem. We're in Bakersfield, California. Got a long journey ahead of us.
You haven't gotten very far, so still in the initial part of your journey. And let's talk about that. You were an asphalt driver in the California area. What prompted you to come out here and race?
Well, we wanted to run the USAC National Series, and we ran that in 2010. And then we saw the Must-See Series coming about, and we decided to jump on board for 2011, and we're just running that all this season, running the Little 500 this season, just trying to get as many races under our belt and trying to get our name out there.
And, you know, you got out here, and how different was it when you got into the wing sprint car compared to the non-wing stuff you were doing in California?
Well, it's a lot different. The biggest reason are the racetracks in the Midwest are a lot bigger, a lot more high-banked, a lot faster. There is some different ones up in Michigan, some odd-shaped tracks such as Berlin and Kalamazoo. So that was a big hoop to cross. And then the next thing with the wing car, it's a lot different than the non-wing car as far as the setup goes and the way that you have to drive it. And it took a while for me to get accustomed to it, but once I did, everything went very well.
And you've done most of your sprint car racing on blacktop, and you know a lot of the guys we've seen from California have been dirt racers that have come out. What made you choose the pavement route?
Well, my sister was a few years older than I was, and we used to run the Outlaw go-karts, which was on dirt. And then we decided to run my sister in a pavement sprint car because we wanted to try to move her back east so she could make a career out of her racing. And we thought that pavement was the way to go. When we got into it, the USAC Western State Series was looking pretty good and had quite a few cars. Unfortunately, when I got into it a year later, which was in 06, it started to die off pretty quickly. And so that's ultimately what led to moving back east to try to hit more races, get more recognition, and try to learn a lot more, you know, try to run on a national level.
What was the biggest surprise when you came out here that you weren't expecting when you came out to race here?
The biggest thing was definitely Winchester and Salem. Those were the craziest things I've ever seen, those racetracks, and it was a lot different than the tracks out in California. We did have, I think the fastest track we have out here is Irwindale, which is very smooth, you know, progressive banking. It's a newer surface and you know, there's no bumps or anything and everyone, you can pretty much run from the bottom to the top. And then when I moved out there, running Salem, I mean, I was going around there on the warm-up laps the first time I ever pushed off, and I was thinking to myself how I'm going to make it around here even at half throttle.
And, of course, you've adapted very well. Last year at Winchester, you just blistered that place in qualifying. How long did it take you to get comfortable on the hills?
Well, it took a while. My first two races were in a non-wing car, which it's a lot scarier because you don't have the downforce and the car is bouncing all over the place and you're just hoping that it's going to stay straight. But then when you do get a wing on it, it feels good and you feel a lot more secure until you start trimming the wings out, which is what we did at Winchester, and you go all out and you just hold your foot down on the throttle. Because when you go down that long back stretch at Winchester, getting down into turn three, you just hope that you're going to make it coming off of turn four.
And you'd mentioned, it was actually scarier without the wing. Is it scarier to watch those wing cars go around Winchester from the outside, you know, or from the pit area than it is actually being in the car, you think?
Yeah. I think so. And like I said, it's when you go out there with a conservative car, it's you feel really secure. It feels good. You know, but when you really try to go fast for those qualifying runs and you start trimming the wings out to where it's more like a non-wing car, but the speeds are a lot higher, that's when it's crazy. The first time I ever saw a wing car go around a racetrack was at Phelan, and that was in 2010 when I ran the non-wing car. And they definitely seem to be going a lot faster than we were.
And, of course, another aspect you mentioned, the little 500, which is a completely different animal in its own right. And you've had a few starts in this race now. And last year, I think you ran the fastest about 110 laps I've seen anybody run, but unfortunately, it only lasted 110 laps. Well, how are you going to change your approach to this year's little 500?
Well, I'm trying to get my brother-in-law to go with me, and he's been around racing. He's from North Carolina, and he's spotted for people. And that's the key to that will be the key to our success this year, is having a good spotter. I need some eyes in the sky to tell me who I should be racing, when to back off. Because when I ended up crashing last year, I had 11 lap cars between me and second place. And had I known that, you know, I definitely would have toned it down a little bit. But at Anderson especially, you know, you need to stay a lap ahead of yourself. But the problem with being in the race car with how high banked it is, you can't really look forward into turn three if you're coming off of turn two. And I need a spotter to help me out with that because, you know, I came off of turn two last year and the field was dead stopped going down the backstretch because somebody was spinning going down into three. So we have the speed. We have a good pit strategy. I just need a good spotter to just kind of guide me through all the lap traffic.
JoJo Hellberg joining us tonight. We were talking about the Little 500, and of course, everyone, when we bring them on about the Little 500, talks about the start. Three wide, 33 cars into turn one. How do the drivers approach that so it does not turn into a parking lot in turn one? Because the past few years, we've actually gotten to run some laps, but, I mean, it's not a very wide racetrack, and you guys are hauling in there. How do you guys manage that to make it all go so smoothly?
Well, I mean, starting at the first row, you know, you're going pretty fast, and your goal is just to try to get out in front. That way you can somewhat run away and stay away from all that lap traffic. The farther back you get, the slower it goes getting down into turn one, you know, because everyone's all bunched up. The biggest thing that you got to worry about is, you know, you got to remember people practice starting on Tuesday, and they practice two, three, sometimes even 4 days with 10 gallons of water. Well, then everyone fills our tanks all the way to the top. So now we're all barreling down into turn one with now 30 to 40 gallons of fuel, and the things tend to push a little bit. And luckily, the past couple of years, we haven't had any wrecks getting down into one, but it's just pretty much a lot of give and take. But that changes the further up you get because, as you can see last year, you know, if you can get a little bit of a jump, it could make a big difference when it comes down to pit stop time.
Do you talk to the fellow drivers in your row and try to work out maybe a strategy to get through there?
Somewhat. You know, you can only do so much talking, and then when you're out there lined up, ready to go, I think it all changes. For me, I don't really put too much trust into what my fellow competitors are going to say. I'm going to give respect and give room as long as they do the same for me. But it's definitely not a deal where you take somebody's word for it.
And one other aspect to the Little 500 week this year, there's some bonus money on the line. If you can win Winchester, if you can win the Musty Racing event on Wednesday, and if you can win the Little 500 with the same car, some serious cash on the line. Are you going to try to attempt to do that with the same race car at all three races?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try to do that. You know, but that's all out the window if you don't win Winchester. So, I'm looking at Winchester, just trying to win that, because if you don't win that, you know, it's all up from there.
And hypothetically, if you were going to run the same car, how much changeover is there from running, you know, Winchester to the Anderson race to taking the wing off and trying to run that thing at the little five?
Well, for me personally, changing an engine, definitely not going to run the same engine. Changing a lot of the body components, changing a lot of just so many components need to be changed if it's going to happen.
And
that's you know, it's not as easy as it sounds. Pretty much everything except for the body.
I was going to say, it sounds like pretty much rebuilding race car. JoJo Hellberg joining us. One question for our audience asked. Rich here in Michigan wants to know when you started pit stop practice for the Little 500 this year.
When, when did we start practicing?
Yes.
Well, as terrible as it sounds, I don't practice. And the reason why is because I'm on the East Coast. My dad and a couple of my crew members on the West Coast, and it sounds like this year I'm going to have to rally up some more people. You know, I pretty much do what I can to make an easy pit stop. Me personally, I've started getting fueling rigs ready to go. You know, I started that about a month ago, and I have it's all about the dry brake system and making sure that you have all the hubs cleaned off and the axle cleaned and deciding pretty much how many tires you're going to take and what's going to have to happen if the car is not handling properly. But yeah, unfortunately in my case, and I wish I was a lot more prepared, but we're going to be preparing, you know, days before the race.
That'll be interesting to watch. How do you go to someone and go, "Hey, can you do a pit stop for me?" That's got to be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, well, a lot of teams only take right rear tires. And if you can do that, then, you know, now you got to look for somebody who knows how to put a dry brake in for the fuel, find somebody who can run an impact gun, and find somebody who's smooth enough to put the jack underneath. I have a select few guys that have been working on my car or helping me out in the pits, you know, since I started racing. So it should come pretty naturally to them. Luckily, they give us a little warm-up session the day of to where we can do a little bit of a practice test. But I think a lot more of the preparing comes in making sure you have nitrogen bottles, making sure that you know what to do with the regulators as far as using the guns, making sure that you have good impact guns and just stuff like that. I think that's more where you need to be prepared because, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a super quick pit stop. You just can't have any errors. You can't have any mechanical failures. 2 out of 4 years that I've run, I've had rear lug nuts seize on the axle, and, you know, your night's over with right there.
JoJo Hellberg joining us, talking about the Little 500. And this year on your trek back east, you're headed to North Carolina. And you're going to be staying there this year. And obviously that brings up the question, what are your future aspirations in motorsports?
Well, definitely I'd like to make a career out of racing. Unfortunately, I know it's funny. The next thing would be to get sponsors and get sponsorship money. And hopefully somebody can help guide me up the ranks. Like I said, I know how tough it is. And it's just unfortunately it's a big money game. So the best thing that I can do for myself and for my dad, who is having to fund this whole operation, is to prepare myself and to prepare the car as best as possible to where we can just win as many races and try to get our name out that way. Just because our PR is not the best on our part. You know, my dad, my girlfriend and me have a race team and we just go out there to win. In North Carolina, I stay at my brother-in-law has a shop with access to pretty much whatever I need. And I'm just miles down the road from the wind tunnel, and hopefully one of these days I can roll my car in that thing.
That would be interesting to see how that turned out, JoJo Hellberg. And that'll be quite a change from when you first came out here, because when you first came out to Indiana, you were living in the toter home.
Yeah, I was living in a motorhome and living in Walmart parking lots and had a couple people take good care of me and help me out, but definitely working on the race car was a challenge. We did end up getting a shop last year, but it had nothing more than what I carry in the trailer. Now, you know, I have all the fab equipment that I need, and, you know, I'm just down the road from all the newest, latest, and greatest parts.
And JoJo Hellberg joining us here. JoJo, one final question. You know, the must-see series, they have a nice TV package that they've been doing and stuff. Have you seen any, like, residual from that television? Like, are people noticing you? Do you have people recognize that they saw you on television?
Yeah, I definitely get a small amount of recognition as far as, you know, people telling me, oh, I saw you on TV, and that's cool. I think what helps us out the most as far as individual race teams is that that's definitely something that we can put on our sponsor package, for PR, which, I know has helped a lot of other people. Like I said earlier, you know, we kind of struggle as far as, having a good PR set up for me, but, it's definitely a good thing to put on a resume when you are trying to get some money for putting a company's name out there.
And JoJo Hellberg, one of the best spoken drivers we had on the show. And I guess we should probably start letting you drive again since you're not out of the state of California. I'm sure you have some people to thank first, though.
Yeah, definitely. I want to thank my dad. He makes this all possible. He funds out all the money necessary, and you know, I'm just trying to win the races to help pay that back. My girlfriend Chelsea, she's with me right now, and she's going to be helping me do a little bit of driving all the way back to North Carolina, and she's definitely a trooper, just goes with me to all the races and helps us out with whatever we need. I think she might end up being my right rear tire changer for the little 500.
Oh man, now that one is a keeper, man. If she'll do that,
yeah, so. Oh yeah.
All right, well, JoJo, we really appreciate you taking time out. Have a safe trip back here, and we look forward to seeing you at Anderson.
All right, thanks.
All right, JoJo Hellberg joining us on the hotline, and that's exactly what I expected out of him. Very well-spoken young man, and that's the experience I've had every time talking to him. And I've been really dying to get him on the show since we started doing it again. And I was like, you know what? I got to wait till the Lowell 500. Got to wait before the Lowell 500 Winchester. And I finally pulled the trigger out this week, and I'm glad we were able to have him. And Sprint Car fans, don't forget that Memorial Day weekend, after Lowell 500 on Sunday, you can watch the Michigan Traditional Sprints on racesontheweb.com from the Crystal Motor Speedway, the first of their two appearances there for the 2010 season. So here on racesontheweb.com, don't forget MTS Sprint Cars the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Greg Callinan about the opening event at the Oshawegan Speedway on Friday night. You're listening to TJSlideways.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
Jay Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJSlideways.com Live here on racesontheweb.com. If you listen in the distance, they shoot and they score. Maple Leafs up 2-1, and nobody's happier than that about that than Greg Kellanen. And so, Greg, what does it feel like to be in the playoffs again?
It's amazing. It's been a long wait. The last time the Leafs were in the playoffs, I didn't have any kids to put to bed. Tonight I had four of them to put to bed. It's been that long.
That gives you some perspective right there. Because, Greg, one of the three voices at the Oshwegan Speedway each and every Friday night. And you guys are just finished up a practice night last week and getting ready for your season opener this week.
Yeah, amazingly, we got our test and tune in last week, and we had a good number of cars come out for that. And actually, the track was super fast. Glenn Stires laid down the quickest lap. It was 13.1, which was getting close to the track record. So the track's taking good shape already. We didn't have as much precipitation as we did in years gone by. So the track's in good shape for this Friday night, our season opener. Extended laps in all of our divisions, of course, 25 laps for the Corpac merchandising sprint cars, and it's going to be a crapshoot this year. I don't know who to watch for to win.
Well, that's the thing. The sprint car deal in Ontario is still on the grow, and there's a lot of new faces coming in all the time. It seems like each and every season there's some new faces that emerge as front runners.
Yeah, that's the thing. Now, this year we're not going to have any, per se, brand new drivers, but it seems every year, like you mentioned, there's a driver that elevates his level and gets to that competitiveness where he's up there, up at the front, racing for wins. And look at last year. I mean, Travis Cunningham grabbed, I think it was three victories. He got his first win ever, and then he backs it up with a couple of more wins. Chris Steele going to victory lane, ended up winning the championship, which no one would have called. And at the same time, you had some of the veterans struggling, like Keith Dempster and Jamie Collard, the guys you expect to be up at the front, really didn't have the seasons they had hoped. So it's you can come on any Friday night, you have no idea who is going
to
win.
In addition to that, this year you guys are bringing back some sanctioned events throughout the season.
Yeah, that was a neat thing that's happened with the management change going on there. Glenn Stires said, you know what, we want to support the touring groups in the area, and we want to allow them to have a date at our track again, because I know those tours, like coming into our track and having their own date. But it's tricky when you've got a regular crowd every Friday night. You know, how do you work in a tour event? Because in the past we tried it and we didn't get our car showing up, so it ended up being a thin crowd. This year they've made it a kind of a woo versus posse type of deal. So this year it's the CorPac versus the Patriot Sprint Tour, or the CorPac versus the Southern Ontario Sprints, or CorPac versus the ESS. So it's going to be kind of cool. You know, there's points on the line for both the tour and our own drivers, and it's going to be head-to-head. And really, what it is it's a bit of a preview to what we're going to see at the end of the year in the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals.
Yeah, of course, that on September 13th and 14th, another great weekend. I tell everyone in the States, they have got to go to the Canadian Nationals. A lot of them look at me funny like, well, don't we need like crazy paperwork and everything to get over there? It's like, no, you just need a passport. And if you're from Michigan, you get your old trick driver's license and you can go over there without any hassle. And it's well worth the trip over there.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, you're going to come here and you're going to see at least 70 sprint cars. I think that's been, you know, we had one year where it dipped a little low, but you're going to see 70, 80 sprint cars and not just, you know, a bunch of field fillers. It's the cream of the crop, and really more than half the field could technically go out there and win the race. We've seen that in the past where, you know, it's not always who you think it's going to be. It's a great weekend. It's a fun atmosphere. The Friday night's more of a fun time with Twin 15s, and you do get a couple of guaranteed starters there, but it's a fun two nights. And if you've never been, trust me, it is not hard to cross the border. As a Canadian, I do it all the time going across to the States because we love going down and watching the races down there. But it's not hard to get across the border, and you will not regret coming to see the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals.
And another aspect of that is the Canadian Nationals starts 30 cars in the feature. It's one of the biggest starting fields next to the Little 500 I see all year.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the reason it draws so many cars, the purse as well, $12,000 to win. That pays more than the World of Outlaw event we have midsummer. So it's a big deal for a 360 sprint car to go out there and compete for $12,000 to win. I think it's like $850 just to start the A main. So if you can get in that top 30, like you say, you're taking home a pretty good payday. You're taking home almost a feature win on a regular Friday night if you can just start the A-Main.
I agree. It's something else. And I tell people, you got to go see Oshawegan, even on a regular Friday night. It seems like your Friday night program has really grown over the past year and a half.
Oh, it has for sure. And I think the reason is the switch to the sprint cars. It used to be a dirt car sportsman track, but they moved to sprint cars. And this area of Ontario was a very big super modified, pavement super modified area. And people love those cars because of the thrill factor, the speed, the, man, somebody could get hurt doing this, you know, that type of racing. And that's what you get with the sprint cars. And it seemed to have brought some of those super modified fans in, and even new fans. They see these cars and they think, wow, man, they are just flying down into the corners, not lifting. And it has grown our weekly crowd very strong, and I think it's going to be even better this year. And Glenn Stires, being a sprint car racer himself who owns the track, he set up that track to run well for sprint cars. He's been to so many tracks across North America. He knows what works. He knows what doesn't. And he set things up so we can run a quick program. You know, just having that warm-up track back in the pits where we push start all the sprint cars and heats or features, whatever, the cars are already rolling. It doesn't take long to get them started up, whereas some tracks you go to, you know, fans don't like the push-off time and so on and so forth. But you come here, you're going to see a good, tight program and an exciting one at that.
And one other aspect that, Oshawegan, you know, you mentioned the Friday night growth. Are you starting to see some Brantford residents and maybe some of the other surrounding towns? Are we starting to see those people filter into the racetrack to check it out that maybe haven't been to the races before?
For sure. And that, to me, I think that's where our biggest growth has been our community outreach. I mean, you can spend a ton of money on advertising and newspapers and radio and that, but you got to get people out into the community. And the Oshawegan Speedway staff, we have a lot of good volunteers that have done a great job getting out in the community. And the biggest thing is putting people in the cars, kids in the cars, adults want to get in the cars. I mean, we just did a car show, a big motorsports show, and they had all kinds of race cars there, but everybody was drawn to the sprint car. And these new fans come in and see them, and they think they're great, and that's what draws them. But to get back to your question, yeah, the local communities have really brought in the new fans for us, and I can speak from my own example, when I first moved to the Brantford area, when I told my friends I was going to Oshweken or going to the races, they thought I meant to Flamborough Speedway, which is another track nearby. And I'd say, no, I'm going to Oshweken Speedway. And they didn't even know there was a track there. Well, now, you know, it's been almost 10 years since I've been there. I go out there and I'm seeing all kinds of friends out there that don't even really like racing. They just go for the entertainment value. And I can't believe how many friends that are there now that, you know, 10 years ago, they had no interest. They didn't even know the track was there. So it has grown.
And there's been vast improvements over the years. We've seen the new grandstands and the new, some of the work in the pit area and the new fencing and all that stuff. Are there any new improvements that fans can look forward to seeing this year?
Well, I know they're still working on the bathrooms, the new bathroom that they're putting together in behind corner number 4. It's, if you've been to Oshweken, there's a huge building there that's being assembled. They had some troubles with it last year, and from what I understand, they've been working on it during the off season. I don't know if it'll be ready for opening night, but we're hoping to have that ready for our big events. But again, I mean, there's been so many improvements. Like you say, we've had the new fencing put in, the lighting. I mean, this lighting was put up for TV so that Speed could come, and then unfortunately it rained the night Speed was there. But you won't go to another track that's better lit than this in this area, I'll tell you. They put in a new gate on the front stretch, so on our autograph nights we can get people in and out off the track quickly. Just a lot of improvements continuously go on. This year, nothing too big. But we've got so much right now, I don't know what else I can expect for other than maybe a new announcer's booth.
Yeah, and then, of course, I'm sure that's high on the priority list, too.
Well, for me. Yeah.
Now, also, July 29th and 30th, big weekend of racing there. You guys are having Tony Stewart on the 29th taking on the Corpac Sprint Cars, but you also have 358 Modifieds on that program, too.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that two nights of racing. It's a Monday, Tuesday, July 29th and 30th. On the Monday night, well, I'll start with the World of Outlaws show. That's on the Tuesday night. And you know when the World of Outlaws are there and Tony Stewart's there, that's going to be a huge event. I don't need to sell that any more than what it is. And Tony's won the last two, you know, so that's big news. To me, I'm really excited about the Monday night show because what we've done is taken our four race series, the Northern Summer Nationals, and put it down into one night, one race, and it will be that Monday night when Tony Stewart is there. And the winner, I don't know if this is supposed to be public knowledge or not, but the winner is guaranteed into the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals at the end of the season. So I think we're going to see a few outsiders come in. It's not just going to be the Corpac merchandising sprint cars there that night. We're going to have some of the heavy hitters from the Northeast coming and try and get themselves locked into that race in September. And,
all right. Yeah, breaking the bank there.
Yeah, no, exactly. And then you got Tony Stewart in the mix. People want to race against Tony. And then, like you said, the 358 Dirt Car Modifieds are coming back, and I'm really excited to see this as well. I grew up watching Modifieds. We have the Sportsman coming back in May as well. But to have the small blocks there, I think that's going to draw some interest from the Merrittville crowd, and I've even heard some of the Eastern Modifieds from down at Brockville Cornwall may come up for that event as well. So that's going to be two huge nights of racing. Some say, well, I'll just come and see the Outlaws against Tony on the Tuesday and I'll skip the Monday. But you know what? I wouldn't miss either night because I think Monday's just going to be just as big as the Outlaw show on Tuesday.
And you'd mentioned Tony has won the past two Outlaw shows there. He got his first Outlaw win there. How much did that elevate the Oshweken Speedway profile from your perspective? What are some things that you saw that you're like, holy cow, this is just blown up?
Oh, it was huge. We couldn't have had that been a better script. I mean, we couldn't have written it better ourselves for that to happen. We were on major networks up here being covered because, you know, an NASCAR star came here to our little track just west of Hamilton and won his first ever World of Outlaw race. And it seemed every time he turned on Speed or something, there was Tony Stewart, there was Oshweken Speedway. And then he was talking about it nonetheless after that. And he even talked to one of our reporters up here, and he kind of credited that win, that first ever Outlaw win, to his NASCAR championship that year, because he said that win kind of got the juices flowing and got him excited about racing again. And we all know the tear he went on that year in NASCAR right after that win. So the press we got, we couldn't have asked for anything better. And then last year he comes and he wins the 360 race and had a heck of a duel against Jessica Zemkin and Glenn Stires. And of course, we know the history with he and Zemkin, and they exchanged words and pleasantries on the track as well. It was huge. So I don't know what to expect this year when he returns.
I was going to say, I mean, what can you do to follow up those two events? I mean, Tony Stewart doing that, and maybe one of your local guys passing Tony Stewart. That would probably bring the house down.
Well, that's the thing. And last year, Glenn Stires, I thought, was going to beat him. But about three or four times, he overdrove corner two just to catch up to Tony. He'd get to corner two and drive off the berm a bit, and Tony would pull away. Had he not done that even a couple of times, I think he could have beat Tony, and that would have been huge. I mean, Glenn would have been smiling. He'd still be smiling if he'd beat Tony that night. So I almost think that's the thing now. It's like, well, now Tony's got the target on his back. Everybody wants to beat him. Even the World of Outlaws want to beat him. I mean, we look back when the Outlaws started coming here, and Jason Sides used to clean house every time he'd come here, and everybody kind of gunned at him. Well, now Tony's got the target on his back.
And, of course, we mentioned the Canadian Nationals at the end of the year, and we've seen Steve Poirier win three of those races from Quebec, the Canadian driver. What would it mean to the region to see an Ontario driver win that event?
Oh, that would be huge. It would be so huge, and we've come close. You know, we've had Jim Hoopinen last year was in the top three, Jamie Collard in the top three the year before that. They're knocking on the door, and that just goes to show you how solid our Friday night program is. You know, this isn't just a bunch of weekend racers that are kind of throwing it together and going out there and putting in laps. And then when the out-of-towners come in, they clean house. It's not like that anymore. You know, they all have a legitimate shot at winning. And, man, one of these years, somebody's going to have to do it. Maybe it's this year. I'm just going to keep picking Dustin Daggett, though, because eventually he's going to win it, right?
Well, you know, you would think, but I mean, you know, it just seems like every year something strange happens to that team. And it's kind of like
always.
The same thing with Cobra. Chuck Ebing, the same way. Always runs well, but something weird always happens at the Nationals. And heck, we've even seen them get together in the same corner and basically ruin each other's chances the night before.
Yeah, and then there's always Steve Poirier who ruins it for everybody. So
there is that, yeah. And it's just amazing. And, you know, I tell people I have as much fun at the Canadian Nationals as I used to at the Knoxville Nationals. I mean, honestly, it has that feel to it. It's by far the sprint car capital of Canada.
Yeah, it has become that in a very short time, nonetheless, too, because not too long ago, there was the Southern Ontario Sprints, and then the ESS would visit once in a while, and that was about it. And it was modified country up here, and now it's Oshweken's kind of become the home base. All the other tracks in the area still have their sprint car events, but it seems like their big meeting place is Oshweken at the end of the year, and this is where we settle who the best of the best is. And so that's when it's nice when a guy like Steve Poirier wins, because he's a guy you see throughout the season in this region. And for him to go out and beat like a Shane Stewart, that's a big deal for him, or even a Wayne Johnson. That's a big deal to say, you know, someone in the Northeast can hang with these guys that run all across North America. But you're right when you say it's got that Knoxville feel. I've never been to Knoxville myself. I'll be there one day, I promise. But just the camping, the event atmosphere, that's the best way to describe it. It's an event. It's not just a race. It's a weekend event. There's bands playing and so on and so forth. It's a fun time. You got to go if you've never been.
And I was just looking at the new revamped oshwegenspeedway.ca. You know, oshwegenspeedway.com will still get you there, but use the proper name, oshwegenspeedway.ca. New starting time this year, 7:30.
Yes, we want to kind of speed up the program because it is a Friday night, you know, and people have other racetracks they need to get to the following day, and kids want to get home at night. We were starting at 7:45 because it is a Friday night show, and we aren't really in the hotbed of racing territory. You know, a lot of the racers are from the Niagara Peninsula, which is about an hour away, so we try to give them that extra time. 7:45 to get at the track, but we said, you know what, let's knock it down a 15 minutes. Let's try and tighten up the show a bit, tighten up our intermissions, and try and get people home a little bit earlier than they were before. Just so it's more of a family fun night. You don't want to be there and sitting with your kids in the stands at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night on a Friday, and then, you know, you're sleeping in Saturday and wasting half your day. So we've try to tighten up the schedule a bit on a weekly basis, and hopefully things will work out there.
And, of course, the new look, OshawaGanSpeedway.ca. Of course, other things, you can order tickets online for the Canadian Nationals and the Northern Summer Nationals as well.
Yeah, you can buy them for the Northern Summer Nationals, the World of Outlaws race, Canadian Sprint Car Nationals, and for any Canadian fans that are listening that know who Brian Baumler is, he's a Home and Garden television star up here. He's going to be coming on May the 31st to do a meet and greet, and he's being brought in by Insta Insulation, and that'll be a cool thing because even my wife, she wants to go that night. She doesn't care to go to the races, but she heard Brian Baumler was going there. It's like, listen, honey, he's not going to fix your house, you know. This isn't going to happen, but she still wants to come and see him. And yeah, we've got advanced tickets available. It's a TicketForce site, so it's an accredited website. Many of the dirt tracks use TicketForce. So if you just go to OshawaGanSpeedway.com or .ca, there's a banner at the top. You can click on there and order your tickets, and they'll be mailed out very quickly. You'll have them in your hands well before the race.
And it works in the United States and in Canada as well.
Yep. Yeah, you can order from anywhere you're located, and those tickets, I believe they'll either ship them to you or we'll have them ready at the will call. So if you don't want to take the chance and mail them, we'll have them ready for you on race night as well.
Well, Greg, it's always great to talk to you. It's always great to talk about Oshawa Speedway, and I'm sure we'll have you back later this summer to talk about the Northern Summer Nationals.
I look forward to it, and thanks for having me on your show. You do an awesome job for racing in general, TJ, and we're always happy to have you up here at Oshawa Speedway.
All right, Greg, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Greg Callanan from Oshawa Speedway. We're going to take a quick break. When you come back, we're going to wrap up the show. You're listening to TJSlideways.com Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
Jay Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshawa Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshawaSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJSolidways.com Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. Of course, I want to thank all of our guests tonight, Brian Liskey, JoJo Hellberg, and, of course, Greg Kellenin, just on. And Greg and I have done every Canadian Nationals except for one together. And, man, it's such a neat crew over there. If you have a chance, get over there. And, Greg, I didn't have a chance to give him a plug, imagefactor.ca. If you're looking for anything graphic design, autograph cards, anything of that nature, website maintenance, website design, he is the one you want to get hooked up with. He's one of the best-kept secrets in that line of work. It's definitely something you want to check out. So next week is our official Little 500 preview show. This one practically turned into one, but we are going to have our Little 500 preview show next week. We're still working on getting everything lined up for that. Got feelers out to all the guests, but next Monday night, we're dedicating the whole hour show, or however long it takes. If it goes longer, we'll just go longer. It's the beauty of this whole internet thing. And we will cover the entire Little 500 spectrum. And a lot of people might wonder on the dirt side, why do you make such a big deal of the Little 500? Why do you make such a big deal? It is one of the biggest sprint car races in the world, and it's a unique event. A lot of other places have tried duplicating the Little 500 in what they do, but they haven't been able to accomplish it yet. They can't quite get what the Little 500 has going for it, and it's something about that Saturday night before the Indy 500 that people come out and they draw to it, and it is a real event, and we're looking forward to going there. We've been covering it now since, man, I think 1998 is the first time we went there to cover it, and it's hard to believe it's been that long, and getting close to, man, I hate to add it up, but around 15 years of covering the Little 500, and look forward to going back to Anderson, Indiana next week. Crew spread out all over the map this week. We're going to have photographers, potentially. We're still finalizing plans with the MOWA, possibly Angel Park. We're having Mudclaw Bob's going to go down to Plymouth. He's going to be at Gas City Friday night, possibly Winchester on Sunday. We might, I know we're going to have maybe someone shooting there as well. And then, of course, next week, all about Anderson, baby. Little 500, of course, we'll be there on Saturday to bring you the story of the race and everything lying on, lying into it. And don't forget, XSAN.TV has a live pay-per-view package of the Little 500. So if you can't get there, buy the pay-per-view. Do yourself a favor. See the Little 500. It's one of the most awesome events in all sprint car racing. Like I said, even if you're a dirt person, you don't really like pavement racing, you go, pavement racing. It's pavements for getting there, right? Dirt for racing. You need to get the Little 500. You need to see it just once, just to see how crazy it really is. So for everybody at RacesOnTheWeb.com and TJSlideways.com, thank you for listening tonight either live or on our podcast. Have safe travels to go racing this weekend. We'll talk to you next Monday night at 8 o'clock Eastern. Thank you and good night.